Good morning, church. Do you think our band did an amazing job today? I think they did. Trent has always done an amazing job in stepping up and singing on Sunday mornings, and I know he does it in the youth on Wednesday night as well. Well, if you guys can turn to Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to be starting in verse 14. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Now, our life group went over the book of Ephesians, and it took us a little over a year to go through it. And I want to tell you, I would wish to say that they just didn't listen fast enough, and that's the reason why it took us that long. But it actually, it's just my fault. I love the book of Ephesians very, very much, and there's just such good content. And I know us as a church have been going through the book of Ephesians, and I've been learning a lot. And I pray that you guys have been learning a lot as well. But today, I'm excited about what we're learning. What we're learning is a prayer that Paul has prayed, and this prayer is like bridging the gap between doctrine and practicality. So chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the book of Ephesians are very doctrinal, very foundational, but as you get into chapters 4, 5, and 6, it becomes very practical. So Paul goes from, this is what you know, this is what you learned, and now this is where you're going to take it and how you're going to live out your Christian walk. But in this prayer, we're going to see that Paul doesn't demand, he doesn't push or force God into doing things for the believers here at Ephesus. What he does is he just simply asks him. And sometimes that's what we just need to do. We just need to ask God. And let's look at what Paul is praying here. And we're going to look at verse 20 first. And in this, and Paul just shows us an example of how us as fellow believers, Paul just asks a request to God in showing and in asking that God is able to do beyond what we ask him to do. Let's look at verse 20. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. So God is not just able. He's not just able to. He's not just able to do or able to do exceedingly. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine. And it's according to the power that works in us. So this morning, we're going to look at what that power is and what that power is in which we are going to be strengthened in the inner man, to be rooted and grounded in love, to be filled with the fullness of God, and that God, through Christ, gets the glory. I hope that this lesson is an encouragement to you as it is to me, and I also hope that you see this morning that we can implement this prayer for ourselves and our fellow believers. But let's pray first. Can you pray with me? Lord, I'm just so thankful for this opportunity to be able to preach your word this morning. Lord, it's a very humbling experience to be able to do so. And sometimes, Lord, I don't feel qualified to get up here and preach your word. I know my sin, and I know where I stand before you. But Lord, that's why it's just so humbling to be asked to teach the word of God. Lord, I pray that you be with me as we learn this morning about what power that works inside each and every believer. Lord, I pray for our church as we continue to grow as a body of believers. And in this month, we're to reach out to our community and to impact them. In Jesus' name, amen. So as believers, let's be strengthened in the inner man. So let's start looking at verse 14 in chapter 3. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, power to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is a term that is used to describe the indwelling Holy Spirit that you receive at the moment of salvation. And when you receive that Holy Spirit, like I said, it is the inner man, but when you receive it, it's considered a new creature in Christ. So let's look at the screen at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. It says, therefore, if any man is in who? He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Oh, look, all things have become new. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through who? Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So again, the term inner man is used to describe the indwelling Holy Spirit. And there are three other terms in God's word that Paul uses to describe this inner man. He uses inward man, and new nature. And if you're taking notes, I want to give you those references. Romans 7:22, 2 Corinthians 4:16, along with our text, Ephesians 3:16, he uses inner man or inward man. And then Ephesians 2:15, he uses new man. And then in Ephesians 4:24, along with Colossians 3:10, he uses the new nature. I wanted you to see that there are other terms in Scripture used to describe the same thing, but within our text, in Ephesians 3:16, Paul is asking God to give them, the believers of the church of Ephesus, according to the riches of glory, power to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. So a big question would be, why do we need to be strengthened? Why do we need to be strengthened? So believe it or not, even though you are a new creature in Christ, you still have a sin nature. And it is our job to submit to the things of the Lord and put off the sin nature, our old nature, and put on the new nature, which is created in the image of him, God himself, who created it in righteousness and true holiness. Flip over one chapter to the right. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. We're going to look there. Verse 21. Ephesians 4, 21. It says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who? Jesus. That you put off the former way of life in the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the what? New nature, which was created according to God and in righteousness and in true holiness. Now there's a parallel passage on the screen in Colossians chapter 3. Should be verses, is it not on the screen? Colossians chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. It says, but now you must also put away all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old nature which with its deeds and have embraced the what? New nature, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created it. God created this new nature in each believer at the moment of salvation. And Paul's talking to believers here. And he knows that they struggle between sin, living in sin, and living for Christ. And we as believers, we need to continually put off the old man and put off the old nature and put on the new man, the new nature, and to live and to be strengthened in the inner man. And that is by continually. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4, how we're going to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And we're going to look more at that later on in the lesson. So let's go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 3, where we are, as believers, need to be rooted and grounded in love. So let's start in verse 17, Ephesians 3, 17. It says, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through what? Faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints and what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. We're going to stop there. So Christ is to dwell in our hearts through faith. That word dwell in the Greek means to house permanently. So Christ and his Spirit is to house permanently in our hearts through faith, which would make us rooted and grounded in love. Now, rooted and grounded in love, this is the only time that it is used in Scripture like this. In other passages, it'll be rooted and built up or grounded and settled, but this is the only time it's used here like this. But it shows us our position in two ways. Number one, being rooted means to be firmly planted in his love. And then number two, to be grounded means to have a firm foundation in his love. And the word love there is the highest form of God's love, agape love. And so if love is the foundation that we are rooted and grounded in, then it is love in which the believer grows. And God sows the fruit of the Spirit in love, based on Galatians 5:22, in each believer, which grows and blossoms out of them. grows and blossoms out of the believer. Which would make us what verse 18 talks about as how we're going to be able to comprehend the vastness of God's love with all the saints, which would be the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And when we begin to understand that God's love is limitless, it should stretch us as believers to express that love of Christ. We can have a fixed knowledge. We can understand it up here. We can understand Christ's love because we know that he had emptied himself of his glory and became a servant made in the likeness of men. And that being in the form of man, he humbled himself, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, back in our Easter event, Journey to the Cross, there was one of the drama skits that we had was of Mary, the mother of Christ, giving her account on what she saw Christ do on the day of his crucifixion. Now, she was giving her account as a mother knowing her child, which is very impactful. And she was talking about how she knew him from being born as a baby boy and growing up, born as a baby. That'd be very hard on you ladies if you born a baby boy already. That would be, my wife and I have had a few pregnancies and births, and she would be very mad if she already came out with a two-year-old. But, so yes, Christ, she was giving her account of Christ as a baby, as Christ as a young boy, and then to becoming a man, and how he worked with his earthly father, Joseph, as a carpenter, and how when he would get done building things, he would spread out his arms wide and say three words. And she said that on that fateful day, on the day of his crucifixion, she heard those three words, and those three words meant so much more. And church, that gives us a fixed knowledge and understanding of Christ's love, because it's because of his love the reason why he was even there on the cross for us. In Romans 5:8, it says that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, we were sinners, Christ died for us. So it's because of Christ's love the reason why he was there on that cross. It's because of Christ's love that we now by faith are able to put our faith and trust in him to have eternal life, to be saved by him. And again, with that account that she was giving, that yes, Christ had his hands spread out wide on the day of his crucifixion on the cross, and she heard those three words, "It is finished." And she turned around and said, "You know what? But it isn't over." It's not over, church, because now the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, is living through you, through the inner man. And when we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, where it says, "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge," that is explaining experiential knowledge that we have. So it's not over because Christ is living through you in the inner man. The longer we live with Christ, the greater our knowledge should be of him and his love. That means with Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, that we live out that faith every day. And in doing so, we allow the love of Christ to be expressed to those around us. And through our experiences, we realize that nothing can separate us from his love. So let's look to the screen at Romans chapter 8, verses, starting at verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.' No, in all things we are more than what? Conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who? Christ Jesus, our Lord." So we're more than conquerors in Christ. And we should be able to live and show out that love to everybody we meet. And as we continue in our text in Ephesians 3, the second part of verse 19 says, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Those words filled and fullness are very closely related. One means to be complete, and the other one means completion. And so Paul is, in his prayer to the believers, is asking that they become complete with the full completion that is of God, that can only happen while having the indwelling Holy Spirit. And it's not that the believer is to reach perfection. I have noticed on my very short time here on earth that when a believer's desire is to reach perfection, they fall into one of two camps. The first camp is that the believer feels like they've already made it to this perfection. They've already checked all the boxes that they've created for themselves. They've already crossed all the T's. They dotted all the I's. They feel like they've made it. There's no desire for them to continue in their Christian walk. And they tend to lack humility. And this lack of humility may be detrimental to the second camp, to where that believer sees those around him and they think that everyone else has got it figured out, that everyone is living the way that God has for them. And because they can't get it right, and because they can't reach that perfection, they decide, or they get discouraged because they can't check the boxes off. They can't cross the T's that they want to, because they feel like they're just not good enough to do what God has for them to, because they're striving for perfection. And those people tend to get discouraged, pull on themselves some type of self-pity, and potentially they may leave the church, which is very, very discouraging. But our goal as believers is not to reach this perfection. Our goal, based on this verse, is our goal is to reach complete maturity in Christ. Complete maturity. So this fullness brings us to spiritual maturity. Now, I want to do an illustration. Can you help me out, honey? I want to do an illustration for you guys. And I know last time when I was up here, we did a paper airplane, but we're not going to do that this time. I want to do an illustration to help you guys kind of visualize what the indwelling Holy Spirit is and does through the believer. And as my wife is helping me out, do any of you guys like chocolate milk? Yeah, raise your hand if you like chocolate milk. Does any of you guys love chocolate milk, but chocolate milk just doesn't love you? Yeah, I'm kind of in that category. So I want you guys to see through the chocolate milk that we as believers really are, we're going to be represented as the milk. And the chocolate syrup is what's going to be represented as the Holy Spirit. And I'll just pour the rest of it in. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. Now, let's see if I can get this right. So he's pouring himself into us. It's no longer us. We've become a new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away, yet all things have become new. Oop, I think I got enough in there. Oop, got some chocolate on my finger. All right. Now it's time for us to become molded into becoming more like Christ. And we do that by this desire of becoming more mature in Christ. And it happens through our daily walk. We become more mature based on like what our passage was talking about. It's still at the bottom there, but as we grow, we're going to become more like him. We become molded into Christ by understanding that through him, we are a new creature, and that we're going to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and putting off the old man by reading God's word. Through prayer, knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine. Knowing that we can be rooted and grounded in love by fellowshipping with other believers. And that through Christ, which surpasses knowledge, knowing that we are more than conquerors through Christ, that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. So when we go through trials or tribulations, or have peace, or we have triumphs, Christ is with us every day. It's time for us to grow in Him. We may be at a point where we've accepted Christ as our Savior, but it's time for us to start becoming more molded and becoming more of a believer, and we're becoming more like Christ in Him. And Pastor Rich was talking about this morning in our announcements, another way for us to do that, to becoming more molded like Christ, is to love others. And we love others by impacting other people. We have Impact Daytona. We can impact our community with the love of Christ using this church through our small groups. And that might be another avenue for you to grow in Christ, is to get involved in a small group to where you can go around a body of believers who can be there with you to pray with you when you're going through hard times and help you learn more about the Word of God. Each day, we are being molded into becoming more like Christ. Each day, we are growing in our maturity in Christ. Each day, that power works in us. So each day, we are being filled with the fullness of God. Just like I'm not able to take the chocolate out of the milk, the Holy Spirit cannot leave you. At least I'm going to have to figure that out for the second hour. We got some more milk in the back, so that's okay. Just joking. So as we continue, we need to grow in Christ, and that's an everyday thing. And we know that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge, and the Holy Spirit can never leave us. The last point that I want us to go over is going to be our last verse, verse 21. It says, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. This finishes out the significance that we have in the indwelling Holy Spirit, which has placed us as believers. We can rest in the fact that we are His glory through His Son, Christ Jesus, the church, the body of Christ, which is spread throughout all generations forever and ever. So the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, is the time period that we live in now. And the indwelling Holy Spirit is what places us under that umbrella of the body of Christ. Another thing, this is not going to be on the screen, another thing that just popped in my head was in Philippians chapter 3, we did this in our small group not this past week, and another thing that places us under this umbrella and where we're going to be going after we pass away is we're going to be going to heaven. And in Philippians 4, verse 21, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, from where also we await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform this body of humiliation so that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working of His power, even to subdue all things. We're a citizen of heaven, living out this on this earth now to be an example to other people. So it's not our glory, it's His glory. This morning we have seen how the Holy Spirit is to work in us to be strengthened in the inner man, to seeing where Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith that makes us rooted and grounded in love, and coming to an understanding that Christ's love surpasses knowledge, and reaching to be filled by the fullness of God, our spiritual maturity. And to cap it all off with our last verse in verse 21, we are God's glory, the church, the body of Christ. So it's time now for us to grow in Him, and it's time now for us to give Him the glory, because it's no longer us. It's His glory. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach Your word, Lord, knowing that it's not me, it's not my glory, it's Christ's glory. It's God, it's You working through us. Lord, I pray for this church as we continue to grow together as a congregation, is how we know that we're able to impact others, that through the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we are more than conquerors, that whatever we go through, Lord, we know that you will never leave us and that you will never forsake us. We thank you so much for demonstrating your love for us on the cross, knowing that we can put our faith and trust in you, so one day we will be able to spend eternity with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.